your non-stop entertainment radio.
Better. Every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Father, my God, we just thank you. We praise you. We worship you. As the song says, break down the ground of all my traditions. Your way is better. Lord, your way is better. Break down every ground of the traditions, of the way we believe and think things should be done, because your way is better, Lord. Your way of doing, your way of believing, your way of living is better. Father, my God, we thank you. We ask that, Lord, you will minister to us in this session. Speak, we are listening. Father, my God, bless every listener. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the program. God bless you all. Welcome. We have been looking at the relationship between marriage and our relationship with the Lord. And, you know, when people declare they want to be married, there are many things that decisions that have to be made. Sometimes what happens is that, you know, the first decision is that people are going to get married, then who's taking the lead? Some people are always wondering who's going to be taking the lead. Is it fairer to make things, put people, you know, everybody takes a turn to lead about things? What's our perception of what a male role is, what's a female role is, and those kind of decisions and those kind of perceptions we bring to the table of the relationship. Now, the same is with our relationship with Christ. We have a perception of, if we're honest, of how that relationship is going to be, what the Lord is going to do, what we are going to do, how it's going to respond, he's going to respond to situations and circumstances. And we all bring those things to the table. Now, those of you who haven't been listening before might be wondering, oh, she's talking about marriage and then she's talking about relationship with Christ. It's all intertwined, and we're going to look at why I've said that. Okay? Now, sometimes, like I said, we have our preconceived ideas of what the male role is, what the female role is. And, you know, there's that scripture that says about the woman being the helpmate. Now, we looked at that some time ago in Genesis, and I don't want to assume or presume anything. And it says Genesis, earlier on in Genesis, Genesis 2, and I'm going to go to 18. And the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a companion who will help him. Okay. And it says in verse, that was 18, verse 23, at last Adam exclaimed, she's part of my own flesh and bone. She will be called woman because she's taken out of man. Okay. Now, some translations say, excuse me, she'll be my helpmate. And so sometimes we have that, the woman is a helpmate. The woman is helpmate. But we've got to actually look at the full context of everything. Because one description of a person doesn't fully encompass all who they are. So if we look at, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity is describing the different perspectives and characteristics of how the Lord God is moving. So I want us to look, you know, if I look at myself, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, that all of them, I'm a friend, I'm a colleague, those describe who I am. But if someone said only colleague is who I am, that would be limiting what my role is and my purpose is. So we're going to look at all these and try and unpack them. I was talking to Pastor and we were looking at what people bring to, we were having a conversation, and you know, what people's perception. Pastor was saying that if we looked into the scriptures more, it will tell us who we are, and then we'll know our role and what we, our purpose and everything. So he was saying that if men looked and said, right, this is what a husband is supposed to be in the scriptures, then they'll get an idea of what husband. If a woman looked and this is what a wife is supposed to be, then they will get an idea. And you know, because, and you might think, well, that seems straightforward, but remember the song said, break down the walls of all my traditions because your way is better. So what we want to do is break down the perception. Now, in some households, I'm going to go there, it's the woman will cook, but in some households the men cook. And in some of you might be there thinking, what, men are cooking? But it's not a biblical attribute and characteristic that says the woman should cook. I want us to actually get, we don't want to label, we want to actually understand what the Lord is actually talking about. Now we're going to bring it down to Ephesians. Okay, this aspect, I want to bring it down to Ephesians. My favorite scripture, one of my favorite scriptures, Ephesians 5:21. And further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So what we've got to do is submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. What does that mean to you as an individual? What does that look like for you? How does in reverence to Christ look like for you? What do you understand that it means by in reverence for Christ? Because sometimes we have an idea of what in reverence for Christ is, but it might not be what the Lord is talking about. So we have to be, you know, like, I'm going to look at another translation, Passion Translation. And out of reverence for Christ, be supportive to each other in love. So this is what it's talking about. It says, out of reverence for Christ, be supported in each other in love. So one translation, the Living Translation, says, and further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So submitting to one another, the other translation says, support each other. Be supportive of each other in love. Then it goes on in 22. You wives will submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. Now, one translation says, you submit to your own husbands. And I like that one, own. Okay. For Passion Translation, for wives, this means being devoted to your husbands like you are tenderly devoted to the Lord. So submitting, it talks about being devoted to your husbands as you are tenderly devoted. So what you would do for the Lord, you do for your husbands. How you would spend your time, whatever devotion looks like for you, that's what you need to do. And I'm going to look at, because you know what I'm like, we need to look at what that means. You know when everything wants to update when you're doing something, you know, you're thinking, of all the times in the planet and Earth, why do you want to update? Devoted. Okay. Very loving or loyal. Okay. Devoted. Very loving or loyal. A synonym is being faithful, being true, being steadfast, being constant. So when we look at that in context of this scripture, being faithful, being constant, as you are consistent with the Lord, you need to be with your own husband. Now this is a thing, you know, I said we're going to look at our relationships, but also excuse me, how it says being about tenderly devoted to the Lord, how you be constant, how you be faithful. What you're going to do to your husband is what you're doing with the Lord. Are you consistent with the Lord? Are you devoted? Are you faithful to the Lord? Are you, you know, what are you doing? Because what, how you are with your relationship with the Lord is going to, when pressed, that's going to squeeze out and come out. Yes, other things come out, but the best part of you we want to shine. Okay, so maybe sometime you've squeezed too hard, the worst side of you comes out. It's not good, but it's natural. We're all in a work in progress. We're all growing and develop. But what needs to happen, your first thought is, how is my relationship with the Lord? How am I doing this? And one of the things I started to do is, am I going to do this for Jesus? Am I going to do this for Jesus? Am I going to do this for Jesus? Because as you do to for Jesus, you want to do for your husband. Am I going to do this for Jesus? And this then gets things in perspective. Because then you, it's not about yourself. It's about if everybody, remember it says submit to one another. Have that reverence, have that support. If everybody's looking to each other, if the husband is saying, am I going to do this for, would I do this for Jesus? Would I do this for Jesus? As they're thinking about their wives. And they do it because, well, they're doing it for Jesus. And the wife says, well, I'm doing it for Jesus. If that is, in you, even in your friendships, even your friendships, you'll find you will go extra. Now, I watched a video, and this person was talking about how they didn't take care of themselves. but they put themselves last. In fact, they weren't on the queue, and they need to take care of themselves, and they need to take care of me, and they need to take care of me. And I could hear what they were saying. I actually could hear what they're saying, but something inside me said, if everybody was taking care of the other person, you'd be taken care of by somebody else. Okay? If in my, let's say, my communication, my connection with the producer here, if I was short, cross, bad mood, if I get that back, that we shouldn't, be surprised, but if I'm courteous, polite, apologetic when I need to be, have some small, then you're going to get that back. Now, it doesn't always work, but what we've got to do is endeavor to do that. So in your friendships, what you sow into your friendship, you're going to get back. And I'm going to give a case in point. There's a friend that I've known for more years than I care to say, because, then some of you might discover my age. And we've known each other from before the children. Let's just say we've known each other from before the children. And she was very persistent at the very beginning. And sometimes I couldn't show up. And it was before the days of mobile phone. We'll arrange to meet and something always would come up. And I would then not able to show. Then I'll try and call online people and eventually I'll get through. And then I will explain, I'm so sorry, and then you show up. She said, oh, I was waiting in town. Da, 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 da. One time she waited for about an hour and things like that. Now some of you are going, hour, I've not waited yet. But the situation that I was in, it was very hard sometimes to just, because I was carer. So as a carer, you make a plan, but the person you're caring for may have a need as a carer that you have to. And you can't, in those days where you couldn't send a quick text, I'm sorry, I'm running late. So because she was really invested, right now, because she did, we are still well connected. We are still well connected. Even when she left the country and moved to Europe, and when she came back, we still stayed in communication. She invested. And then I invested, and there was understanding, there was communication and understanding, communication. This is a friendship. We now call each other cousins because we've known each other for so long. It's like, we're cousins. It's not a friendship anymore. Like, that doesn't really cut it. We know each other very, very well. So all those kind, even our children call each other cousins. They say we're cousins. So because that connection, that, and this is what we need to do. Someone needs to put the other person first. We need to, and I know it's very difficult. Believe you me, I know it's difficult. But this is what it's saying. If we tend to, for wives, this means, now it's saying what the first part means. Out of your reverence for Christ, be supportive to each other in love. Now, for wives, it says this means being devoted to your husbands, like you are tenderly devoted to the Lord. Now, it says, because husbands, you may think I've forgotten you, for husbands. So, out of reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other in love. For husbands. And provides leadership for the wife, just as Christ provides leadership for his church as a savior and river of the body. Now, another version says, for husbands is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. The church, he gave his life to be her savior. Now, a lot of people read, is Christ the head of the body? For husbands, is the head of his wife, and put a full stop. It's not a full stop. Please continue, because we can't put random full stops. As Christ is the head of his body, the church, his body, pause, the church. Now, what did Christ do for the church? We need to look at those things. What did Christ do for the church? He laid down all for the church. He laid down for the church. What did Christ do for the disciples? What did Christ do for Peter? Let's break it down to one by one. For Peter, he said to Peter, "You're going to disown me three times." He still went to the cross. You know, for, you know, Judas, he still went. All those disciples, he still went. All those people, he still went. He saw you before you were. He still went. He still went and sacrificed himself. That's the kind of love. It's as, you know, just as Christ provides leadership for the church as a savior. And it says, as the savior. As the savior. To save someone, to have that position, is to live a sacrificial life. So to be in that reverent supportive, it means that the husband is going to be in that position to sacrifice. To sacrifice. That might be sacrificing your ideas, sacrificing your way in something, sacrificing to hear and to actually support, to show that support, thinking that, right, okay, my wife might have a better way, direction to do this. You know, all these things is actually what we've got to do in our relationships, is actually mirror what Christ did with the church. It seems very straightforward, but it's not in practice. Why? Because of our flesh. Let's be honest. Our flesh reacts and responds when it's squeezed. Now, we're going to have a break. And after the break, we're going to look into this some more. We'll be back after the break.
Come on, lift the praise in this room right now. Come on, lift your sound of praise. Come on. Your goodness overwhelms me. Your presence satisfies my soul.
Good evening, and welcome back, welcome back. We've been looking at Ephesians 5 and comparing the marriage, as it says there, as you know, Christ and the church, but also wanting us to reflect that what's our relationship, you know, us the church, what's our relationship with Christ? Because if we are supposed to be devoted, we looked at devoted to Christ, as we are and as we are devoted to Christ, we've got to be to our husbands. Are we devoted to the things of the Lord? Are we consistent? You know, there's always areas we can, if we're honest, there's areas we can improve. And sometimes it's very difficult to keep that same pace of consistency. But when we get a check in the spirit that we need to do this, we need to do this. And it might be like, you know, as we grow, as we change, as we do, as you grow and change in a marriage, there are things that grow and change. There might be a way that you were when you first got married, and 5 years in, you find you do something slightly different. 10 years in, you do something a different way. 15 years in, because that in of itself is not wrong, because we're not the same people. Some, we've learned sometimes a different way of doing something. And I was describing to someone, and I've described quite a few people that, like, prayer life, for example. Prayer is your communication with the Lord. Okay? Communication, I said, not just stating your request, but you're listening out for the Lord. You're listening out for the Lord to communicate back to you. So, at one stage, when I was praying, I'd go down my sitting room, pour out my heart, listen here, get a word, and that was good. And then it came to a point that it just seemed like I was talking to myself. And then when I get in the car and I started like meditating on the Lord, I'll get a word, I'll hear something, and I'm there thinking, I need a form to record this, but I can't. And then I'll be driving to work, crying, and saying, I don't want to cry too much because I need to see where I'm going. And just connecting with, but in the house, no. But when I got in the car, because it was a lengthy journey to work, I would get a connection. It was different. When the worship leader was a baby, it was different again. I could connect. I'd be holding him and connect. We're all in this together. You know, sometimes when he was a toddler, he would come and I would be kneeling down on the floor, and he'll come and kneel next to me, and the two of us would be bent over, you know, as I'm praying, bent over, he'll be bent over under me, and it's like we're all praying together and I'm connecting. Some people say, oh, that's very distracting, but it was different. It's different now. It's different again, and it changes. As we change, even if I say my communication, and I'm just looking, using one example as, you know, prayer, that commitment, that consistency, just using prayer, even if I think my communication with the worship leader when he was a baby, it was different from toddler to child to teenager to this stage. It's like completely different dynamics, different ways of communication, and the love hasn't changed, but the communication has changed. And so that is how we are with the Lord. Don't, the love he has for you is not changed, though you may feel a bit distant. Sometimes what you've got to do is press in, but differently, adjust differently. There are things I do differently now, and each season I do differently till I get that connection, and we to keep that consistency. And that's what we've, as I'm doing that with the Lord, I need to do that with Pastor. I can't just keep it like the day we got married, keep it the same. I'm doing the same thing now. No, I need to not, it's not to spice it up with variety, but we have different ways. There's some things I just have to look and he understands what I'm saying, where, and I'll understand what he's saying before he said it. Whereas before the beginning, there was a long, lengthy explanation for me to understand he really understood what I was saying. So it's different. It's now with the Lord, you're communicating with the Lord, you get that prompting, you get that, it's different from when you first started the journey. So that is one of the things. Now, I want to bring in mind, that was just one example. I want to bring in mind that, you know, we need to have maybe mentors, role models, people like maybe life instructors who you can periodically as a couple go to ask for prayer, maybe weekly, maybe monthly, maybe they, everybody's agreed that you there think, oh, what's your perspective? You need to do that. And you always need to check what they're saying to you and align it to the Word of God, okay? But we also need, what roles is each person doing within the relationship? Because, you know, thank you, Holy Spirit. Sometimes our relationship with the Lord, it says, cast your burdens onto Jesus. You know that song, for he cares for you. Yeah, you cast your burdens, you cast it. Then as you wipe your tears, as you're going now, you see the ones you've cast, you're taking back. You've said what you need doing. And you said you've left it, you feel lighter, and then you've picked it up. And then you wonder, after a while, you're feeling the weight of something. It's because we didn't leave it. We didn't nail it to the cross. We didn't leave it there. We're now trying to deal with it ourselves. And this is where the roles, what we're, you know, maybe we want something instant. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's human nature. But we need to be able to cast our cares. We need to have that where, Lord, I trust you to do this and that in your timing, because your timing is perfect. The same way we've got to have that in our relationship. Okay? We've got to have that, because sometimes it's not that, sometimes in a relationship, even in friendship, two people want to lead the way all the time. And it's like no decision, no way is made, no progress is made. Or two people in a friendship, in a relationship, are just, I won't say laid back, but they just not, no one is taking charge, no one's leading. Now, I would give an example, what I said with the friendship that I now call cousin. She just was insistent. You could see she was leaning. We're going to meet. We're going to meet. We're going to meet. We're going to meet in this way. And to the point that, you know, it just, I just thought, why? Not why is she doing this, but wow, many would have given up because it just seemed. But she understood that I was a carer and it was not intentional. We need to ask the Lord to help us to understand each other and what, and work at each other's strengths, not work at each other's weaknesses. Work at each other's strengths so that it's a team. Because remember, the marriage is the two becoming one. Are we in the process of becoming one? If you look at coin, if you look at both sides, they look different, but they're bound together to make one coin. the way you're going to do something, the way your spouse is going to do something, it's going to be different, but you're bound together. So you work differently, but for a common purpose. So we need to work at that right, okay, in this place, this person's going to lead. In this place, this person's going to lead. And there's no right or wrong. It helps to have those like roles, those acknowledgement of people's strengths. It helps a lot in our friendships and our relationships and our marriage. It helps. It does help. Now, I want in Peter, in 1 Peter, he asks, you know, husbands to honor your wife. Honor your wife. What does that look like for you? What does it mean to honor? We're going to look at that 1 Peter 3, verse 7, because, you know, we can say some things and it sounds very powerful. But what does that look like for you? Talk amongst yourselves. Okay. Husbands, you in turn must treat your wives with tenderness, viewing with tenderness. Well, okay, I'm going to go up to 1 Peter 3, verse 5. Holy women of long ago who had set their hopes in God and beautify themselves with lives lived in difference to their own husband's authority. For example, our mother Sarah devoted herself to her husband Abraham and even called him master. And you have become her daughters when you do what is right without fear and intimidation. Now that is actually important, without fear and intimidation. So in a relationship, there mustn't be a fear and intimidation going on there. Husbands, you in turn must treat your wives with tenderness, viewing them as female partners who deserve to be honored, for their co-heirs with you in the divine grace of life. Wow. So they're co-heirs with you of the divine grace of life. Now, verse 8 says, now, this is the goal, to live in harmony with one another and demonstrate affectionate love, sympathy, kindness towards other believers. But if we can live in harmony with one another and demonstrate affectionate love, sympathy, and kindness towards each other in a relationship, even other believers, but each other. Your other believer is your spouse. Your other believer is the one you're in a relationship with. Your other believer, your friend. If we can have that, the Lord help us. Honestly, we need the Lord to help us with these things. We need the Lord to help us. Father, help us, help us, help us, help us. 9 says, never retaliate when someone treats you wrongly, nor insult those who insult you, but instead respond by speaking a blessing over them, because a blessing is what God promised to give you. Wow. Amazing. Now, I say this, but like I said, many of these things are easier said than done. And these are just snippets of how to submit to each other as you would to Christ. You know, it's when you get to that place that in an area, and it's area by area, it's not all at once. Because it'll be an area the Lord will shine his light on that needs to be worked on. And once that's worked on, move on to another area. Because if the Lord worked on everything all at once, some of us will just say, I can't do this. So I want us to look at it that our relationship with our spouse, compare it with your relationship with Christ. Compare it with your relationship with friends, with family. What are we like? Because as we are with Christ, we're supposed to be with our spouse, but it spills into other relationships. What we like at work, what we like with friends, what we like. What are we like? Let us take a moment to examine. I don't want you to think, what are you like? Yes, that other person, but what are you like? Because we all bring something to the table. And I'm not saying, you know, some will say, well, you don't know what I've been through. No, I don't. But the Lord does. Communicate with the Lord, and He will direct your path as what to do. Because that other person is got to do as unto Christ. If everybody's doing as unto Christ, we're going to be okay. So it's getting to that place that we are doing as unto Christ, they are doing as unto Christ. Then we won't have to think of, I need to look after myself, because everybody's doing as unto Christ. If everyone took care of, instead of me taking care of my needs, I took care of somebody else's needs, that person took care of somebody, somebody's going to take care of my needs. But that is a whole lot of trust. And we are in a world, so we have to get our refilling from the Lord. We have to get our wounds healed from the Lord. We have to get every pain healed from the Lord. One of the things that I was listening to a program, and this person kept saying, you know, this is what they were endeavoring in a relationship, and they kept saying, oh well, this is what's happened before, this is what's happened before, you know, this is what's happened before, this is what's happened before. And they kept saying that. So as they were saying that, you could see their mood change. You could see how their whole demeanor changed. You know, they were recounting to the, like maybe someone interviewing them, this is what's happened before. And the more they said that, their whole demeanor changed. By the time they saw the person, they were so vexed. And I was watching this, half watching, half listening, But that caught my attention. And in, as Pastor would say, a download. We're in a season that we can't bring our past into our destiny. And it just hit me that sometimes in this season, our past is our past, but let it not predict our destiny. Even in our relationship, the past is the past, but let it not predict the destiny. Even our friendships, the past is the past, let it not predict our destiny. Even in our jobs, the past is the past, let it not predict our destiny. I don't want to leave that with you, because yes, it might look like I've done a roundabout it, but there was quite a lot I wanted to get in. We have a program on, an in-person program on Saturday, and it's on Eventbrite, and it's Faith in This Season. And I just want you to come and be blessed. You can get your tickets at Eventbrite, and it will show you the venue, and you can just come and be blessed. Really come and be blessed. It's 10 to 1 Okay, so it's just a short part of the day so that you can just get that refreshing and charge you for this season, because the season has changed. And that word I got made me realize that there is a different perspective that we need to look at to many things. Until next week, have a blessed and glorious week. Father my God, we just thank you, we praise you, we worship you. We thank you for this time. Lord, let those who hear, Father my God, let them, oh Lord, minister to them that which is for them, Father my God. Speak to them, Father my God. Lord Jesus, 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 take full control. I ask for your protection over those, for us all, and I ask for your guidance, I ask for your consistent love to be poured out on each and every one of us, and I ask us to be filled with overflowing with your joy and strength. In Jesus' name, have a blessed week, and bye for now.
Jesus is the name.